Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
Once again, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Salvation is in a person, and that person is Jesus, the Son of God. If you will trust Christ today, you will be delivered from the bondage of sin. You will know peace in your mind. The Lord has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're confused, it's not God's fault. It is because of choices you've made. The Lord brings peace to a heart. When you try to walk down two roads, try to stand in two positions that are opposite of each other, you're going to have confusion. When you argue with God about what God calls right and what God calls wrong, you're going to be confused. You must be willing to submit your will to God's will. Stop arguing with God. You can't win. You will run out of air, run out of breath, and lose. Just surrender. Today, we want to look at the book of Judges and give you a brief synopsis of this book. This is the book that is to give to us history of what happened when Joshua died. The author of the book is unknown. And it is believed to have been that of Samuel. You say, well, how could Samuel write the book of Judges when Samuel didn't come along until many years afterwards? Well, let's go back to the book of Moses, or the book of Genesis. How could Moses have written Genesis when Moses was not even back there at creation? God gave to Moses information about what the creation was like. And Joshua was one who ascended to the position of leadership, or was raised up to leadership to lead the nation. And he was one who wrote during his own time. And now Samuel could be the writer of the book of Judges. Now, we can argue about that, but the author is unknown of the book of Judges. Well, what does this book talk about? Well, it talks about the judges. That's how Israel was governed. Now, in the book of Genesis, the Lord raised up Abraham, and then the Lord raised up the patriarchs, and the nation was governed by the patriarch. And then when they were there in Egypt, after having been there for a while in bondage, the Lord brought them out, and Moses led the nation. When Moses died, the Lord raised up Joshua. And when Joshua died, the Lord raises up someone else to lead the nation. And then we find a great focus on these judges. Now, these judges did not rule one after another. Sometimes there was one judge who was ruling in one area of the land, and another judge was ruling at the same time in another area of the land. And so if you add up all of the numbers, all of the years that are mentioned there, it will seem as though, oh, that cannot be. But you must take into account that one judge ruled in one part of the land at the same time that another judge ruled in another part. And some judges ruled larger parts and some ruled just smaller parts. But they were judges raised up by the Lord to lead the people of the Lord. And the primary theme is how that the nation lapses into times of apostasy. They go away from the Lord, and the Lord lets the enemy overtake them, and he brings them up again. So these 15, 16 judges were used by the Lord to lead the nation. Now, dear Heavenly Father, we ask for thy blessings upon the message today. We plead the blood, having no righteousness of our own. We ask for thy power. We ask this in Jesus' name, and for his sake we ask these things. Amen. Now, let's look again in the book of Genesis. And you know, the last time we were looking at the life of Joseph, how that Joseph was careful to see to it that the Lord got glory from his name for all that happened, and that the Lord was honored and glorified. And as Joseph tried to tell people what the Lord was doing, they misunderstood him. They conspired against him. They sought to kill him. You see, if you start thinking about something and you keep dwelling on it, pretty soon it's going to overtake you. Do you remember the account of a man by the name of Achan? He gives to us the pattern of how sin works. In the book of Joshua, in chapter 7, Joshua has brought Achan before them because sin has been found in the camp. The Lord hadn't revealed the presence of sin, but sin had been found in the camp. This is right after their first battle, or their second battle. And the nation is defeated. And when the Lord is building, the devil always tries to get in on the foundational level. When any time a work starts out, anyone starts out on a work, someone is going to want to bring in something that is contrary to the scriptures. And things will be difficult when things start out. You start out on your marriage. You'll find yourself being tempted in every area, in different areas, and people will try to get in on the foundational level to influence. That's the way the devil operates. All right? So after they have this battle, the devil wants to get in by leading Achan to steal and to be dishonest. When we come to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5, the devil wants to get in on the foundational level. Well, anyway, back in this book of Joshua, chapter 7, notice the pattern of sin. I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment. That was his problem right there. He saw among the spoils. Now, the Lord had said, all of this is to be given to the Lord. All right? This is what had happened at Jericho. And Achan had taken some of these things. And he said they're goodly Babylonian garments. The Lord had said this was to be given to the Lord. They were not to take any of it. But Achan said, well, I think that this is pretty good. And I'll hold on to this. There's an exception for this. He saw, and in his mind, he determined that it was good. Isn't that the way that happened? Didn't happen something like that in the Garden of Eden? And he said, there were 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold. So silver and gold and 50 shekels weight. Then he said, secondly, when I saw them, I coveted them. Thirdly, I took them. And fourthly, I have hidden them in the tent, and they are there. So you see, sin has a path. And when you look upon someone having something that you don't have, or the Lord blessing someone in a way that he's not blessed you, are you holding it in your heart thinking that, well, that's between me and my own conscience? I just don't like them. Or I think they were dishonest in getting that. If I had just been such and such a person, or if I had said such and such a thing, or if I were flatterer like they were, then I'd get that promotion. Pretty soon you start thinking, your opportunities come where you can neglect to do something that you ought to be doing. Now you say, well, I didn't do wrong, but I just didn't help when I could have helped. I could have made things easier for that person. And so the next time, you're willing to go out of your way to make a discomfort for them. And then you're willing to put forth the effort to make things hard for them. And then you're just the same way as trying to murder them, just as Joseph's brothers did. When they started thinking wrongly, they eventually did evil. And so they see their brother coming. You know, he is, remember, doing what his father had told him to do. And as they look across the field and they see Joseph coming, in verse 20 of Genesis 37, it says, come now, therefore, and let us kill him, slay him, and cast him into some pit. Now to them, he had become nothing more than an object or an obstacle in their path that kept them from being all they wanted to be, or doing all that they wanted to do, or having all that they wanted to have. And they were looking up on this, if we can just get rid of this thing, no longer a brother, we can slay him and we'll be all right. Let's just do that. Let's kill him and throw him into a pit like you would a rotting corpse. And we shall say some evil beast. And so now here's another step down. They envied their brother. They conspired against their brother. And now they're getting ready to lie to their father and tell their father how they covered it up. Some evil beast devoured him. They had a lot of help getting this plan together. And it came from the same one who gave the help to Eve in getting and presenting the fruit to Adam and deceiving Eve. And when Adam chose to disobey God. And we'll say that some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. Well, men, you're lifting up your hand against God, and the Lord is in charge. He's seeing all of this. The Lord hears your words. He sees your thoughts walking across your brain and jumping around in your head and coming out your mouth and entering into the ears of others and influencing them. God sees it all. You're out in a field away from everybody else, but God's in on those conversations, and you can't hide. You haven't hidden a single thing. You're going to put together a plan, and the reason why they're doing this is because they don't fear God. They don't have a mind for God. And so Reuben, in verse 21, hears of this, and he delivered him out of their hands by saying, "Let us not kill him." And Reuben said unto them, "Shed no blood. Remember, whoso sheddeth innocent blood," and was Joseph's blood innocent? Had Joseph done anything wrong? Had Joseph harmed them? Had he taken life? And was he guilty so much so until he should be punished with capital punishment? No, he hadn't done anything. He hadn't killed anyone. They were envious of him. When you start envying people, you've just entered into the guilt of being a murderer. You are saying, I should have what they have, and they should not have what they have, and they should not have anything like what they have, because I should have it all. And Reuben said, "Well, let us shed no innocent blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands and deliver him to his father again." So Reuben now has this plan that he is going to deliver his brother. He is not going to let them murder him. He doesn't have the character to speak up and say, "You hurt my brother, you might as well do me the same way you do him." But no, he comes up with a plan. And perhaps he recognized that there was a riotous group on his hand and he couldn't do anything with a mob, and he tried to put together a plan. I don't know. But nonetheless, we can see where envy takes people. Father, we ask for thy help in pointing out sin, and then we ask for thy help in dealing with this sin. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Well, join us again for another program of Light for the Pathway. I'm Willie Thompson in Greenville, South Carolina.